Now, how many of you have had that similar kind of experience around Christmas time over the years? Yeah? There's three of us, maybe? All right. Well, I guess the rest of you are just good. So we'll just wrap it up. Heavenly Father, no. You know, a couple years ago, my wife and I, we've been doing pastoral ministry for a number of years. But 2 years ago, before we launched this church, we had moved to Temecula. And since we hadn't launched as a church yet, we didn't have Christmas Eve services. So we thought this would be a great year for us to go visit family before Christmas and actually stay over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And we'll just have a relaxing time. It'll be easy going. It'll be, nice to just be able to get out earlier and do that. So we went to Arizona, and our plan was we were going to spend Christmas Eve with my wife's family in Arizona, Christmas Day with them, just chilling. And then the day after Christmas, we were going to take off and drive to Texas, where my family lives. Well, while we're in Arizona, just kind of hanging out, we get word that there's a massive blizzard that's going to hit all of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. The entire drive that we're going to make is going to be covered in snow. And let me just explain. Snow is this stuff that falls from the sky. And it's white and it's kind of cold. I know you Southern Californian people don't even know what it is. But when it hits the road, it makes the roads really slick. So we didn't want to drive on that. So we loaded everything up and we headed out on Christmas Eve. So we had all these plans for Christmas Eve dinner and then Christmas Day lunch, and we were just going to relax and have these big, you know, food, like just a great time with family. But instead, we had this amazing, wonderful Christmas Eve dinner at the Maverick gas station in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico. Then we stayed in a hotel, got up on Christmas Day and had breakfast at the hotel. So that was kind of nice. And then we drove in to Texas, and on our way, it was around lunchtime, we were in this town called Clovis, New Mexico. You can look it up. It exists, barely. And there is not a single restaurant open in the entire city on Christmas Day for lunch, except for Sonic. So we had Sonic for our Christmas lunch. We finally arrive in Lubbock, Texas, and then the snowstorm hits. And it's this massive blizzard, and we get snowed in for 4 days. Now, Brooke and I, my wife, we lived in Colorado for a number of years. And when it snows, Colorado just knows how to handle it. Lubbock, Texas has no earthly idea what to do when it snows. The city owns like one plow. And so for 4 days, nothing was open. We couldn't go anywhere. And this is Brooke and I, our four kids. So there's six of us, my brother, his wife, their three girls, five of them, my parents, and my grandparents. Yes, that is 15 people in one four-bedroom house for 4 days with nowhere to go. It was an exciting time. We got to know each other real well over that four-day period. My point is that things don't always go according to plan. And when things don't go according to plan, we have a few options. You know, we could be in that house and just be angry and upset and frustrated, which happened on occasion, or we could make the most of it. In our lives, things happen that we can't control. Now, all the control freaks in the room get anxious just talking about when things aren't going according to plan and when you can't control everything, but that's just reality. Life happens and you can't control everything that happens. But when things happen that aren't going the way that you thought they were going to go, you have options of how you're going to react and what you're going to do in that scenario. You can be frustrated, angry, upset, complaining, or you can even just go frantic and just kind of freak out completely. Now, what's happening in Mark chapter 4 is the disciples are on a boat with Jesus, and things are not really going according to plan. It's not going according to the way they thought it was going to go. And instead of, you know, having peace or being calm in the midst of it, they begin to just kind of freak out. What happened is Jesus was teaching, and after he was done teaching, he got into a boat, his disciples. Now, there was 12 disciples, and these were the men who followed Jesus around really closely and learned from him. They're all in this boat headed across the lake. And then in the middle of the lake, this huge storm comes around and it begins to blow the wind and the waves are going crazy. They're crashing over the boat and the disciples don't know what to do and they begin to freak out. All the while, Jesus is in the front of the boat just sleeping, just taking a nap. So they finally grab Jesus, they wake him up and they say, "What are you doing? Why are you sleeping? Do you not care about us? Do you not care that we're going to die, that we're going to drown?" And we enter this story. We're going to read here in Mark chapter 4, verse 39 through 40. Jesus woke up. Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid?" So we have two things that Jesus talks about in this one verse. There's peace and then there's fear. And Jesus stands up in the boat and he says, "Peace, be still." And the wind, the waves, they die down. There's a calm. Then he looks at the disciples and says, "Why are you afraid?" He's saying, what Jesus is saying here is, look, like, you followed me around and you know that I've done all kinds of miracles, yet you're still so afraid of what you see around you. And then Jesus stands up and says, peace, be still. See, the disciples see the storm, they see the chaos, they freak out, they're terrified. And then Jesus gets up and says, peace, be still. Now, what peace means, I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Peace means freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility, mental calm and serenity. Now, the opposite of peace is fear, distress, anxiety, war, internal chaos or external chaos. And what you have in this story, what's happening is there's some external chaos going on, the wind and the waves, and then the disciples allow it to affect their internal position, and there's internal chaos. They're distressed, they're anxious, they're afraid. Now, this story in Mark chapter 4 is really just a small picture. It's a microcosm of what the Christmas story is actually about. Now, the Christmas story is about the story of humanity, or humanity is in chaos. Ever since the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, humanity's been on collision course with destruction, and there's no way that humanity can save itself and bring itself out of this destruction, out of this chaos. And then what happens is Jesus enters into the world as a baby to bring peace, to say, peace, be still for all eternity. The Christmas story is a story of the arrival of peace and the dismissal of fear. See, what happens in Luke chapter 1, the beginning of the Christmas story, there's a woman named Mary. We're going to read here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 33. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he, the angel, came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. See, this angel appears to Mary. And all over Scripture we see whenever angels appear to human beings, there's a pretty common thing they say. And they say, do not be afraid. Now, why do they say that? Because if an angel appeared to you, you would be terrified, just like those in Scripture. Because it's something abnormal. We wouldn't expect it to happen. So this angel appears to Mary, and she says, you're going to conceive the very Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be called Jesus. He's going to rule and reign forever, and he's going to be great. But the first thing before the angel says this, the angel Gabriel says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is good news. Jesus is coming. Do not be afraid. There is good news. Jesus is coming. Now in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew records a different part of the Christmas story. See, Mary, the angel appeared to Mary and told Mary she was going to become pregnant. And so she becomes pregnant, and then she's betrothed. She's engaged to a man named Joseph. And so she tells Joseph about this pregnancy. And now Joseph doesn't want to shame her, you know, doesn't want for people to think shame on her. Yet he's not really like real excited about marrying someone who's pregnant. And she said it was by the Holy Spirit, but, I mean, would you believe that story? So Joseph actually decided, we're going to read here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, the angel says, don't be afraid, Joseph. don't be afraid. I know things are not going according to plan. Like, you had this plan. You found this woman named Mary. You're going to marry one another. You're going to have kids, and you're going to live your life in this way, and you're going to be a carpenter. I know you have a plan that you're going down, and now things aren't going the way that you thought. They're not going according to your plan, but don't be afraid. There's good news. Jesus is coming. Don't be afraid to take Mary. There is really good news. The Savior of the world is coming. He's coming to save his people's save his people from their mistakes, to save them eternally from their sins. And this person who's coming through your through your fiance is going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Don't be afraid. Jesus is coming, and he's going to be God with us. Now, in Luke chapter 2, there's these shepherds that are taking care of their sheep on the hillside, and they have a similar encounter. Angels show up, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. See, the angels show up to the shepherds and they say, "Hey, don't be afraid. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. The Savior of the world. He is the Christ, the Lord of all, and he's here to bring peace." In all three of these scenes, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, the angels say the same thing. Don't be afraid. There's good news. And this good news is about Jesus. Don't be afraid. Jesus is here. Now, what I find interesting about this story and a lot of the stories through Scripture in different parts of the Old Testament and the New Testament is this idea of Jesus or angels telling us to not be afraid. What's interesting is the angels didn't show up and say, "Hey, God has taken away your fear. You don't have to be afraid anymore." It actually talks about this is it's our choice. It says the angel shows them and says, "Don't be afraid." Not, "I'm taking away your fear," but "Don't be afraid because there's good news. Jesus is here. Jesus is with you." And we're told the same thing. Don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to consume you. Instead, have this peace of knowing Jesus is here. That's what this whole Christmas story is about. Jesus, the God of the universe, was there at the beginning of all creation, taking the humble position of a human being, coming in the frail form of a baby to bring peace. So we don't have to be afraid no matter what we face in life. No matter how big the wind and the waves around us are, we don't have to be afraid because if we believe in Jesus, then Jesus is with us. See, to have peace in life, we must choose to not be afraid. It's a choice that we can make. There's this verse where Jesus really addresses this and he's talking to his disciples in John and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." He's saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Even though the wind and the waves around you may be crashing, it seems like life is headed in the wrong direction. It seems like everything's going wrong and the honey ham has been run over by a semi-truck. It may seem like everything's going wrong, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus. Don't be afraid because what you see in the natural isn't all that's taking place. There's a supernatural God that is above all of it. He's more powerful than anything that we could face in life. But we have to choose to not be afraid. Also, to have peace in life, we must choose to believe the good news of Jesus. See, the angels show up and say, "Mary, you're going to have a son. Don't be afraid. That son's going to be Jesus, the Savior of the world." There's good news about Jesus. The angels show up to Joseph. "Hey, don't be afraid. There's good news about Jesus." And they show up to the shepherds. "Hey, there's good news about Jesus." To have peace, we have to believe the good news about Jesus. That Jesus wasn't just a man, was a good man who said a bunch of good things and then died on a cross, but he was God in the flesh who came down and took the humble position of a human being so that he could die for all humanity. To have peace in life, to have peace in eternity, we must choose to believe the good news of Jesus. See, the Christmas story is good news. It is the story of God with us, God in the flesh. See, Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus came to dispel fear. Jesus came so that no matter what we face, we don't need to be afraid. Not only did Jesus come to bring the world and humanity peace for eternity, but specifically, Jesus came to bring you peace. He came so that you can have peace no matter what you face. You can have peace eternally in heaven because Jesus came. Jesus can bring peace to the wind and the waves of your life. He can bring peace to your soul eternally, and he can bring peace to your heart immediately. You know, a few years ago, everything in my wife, her name is Brooke, Brooke and I's lives were all heading in one very specific direction. We were living in Colorado at the time, and everything we had been through and everything kind of led us up to this point of where we were, and we just felt like that's what God was calling us to do. We had just purchased a house in kind of the back part of the city we were living, and everything was pointing towards us launching a brand new church in Parker, Colorado. And we already had the funding together from the elders of the church, and the pastor had actually, the church we were working at, had approached us about it and asked us to consider launching this church in Parker, and everything was heading in that direction. We were getting excited about it, and like we were getting plans together, and we had everything worked out, what the first year was going to look like and how much it was going to cost, and we were getting everything together, and then our entire life shifted in just a matter of a few days. Everything that we thought that was going to happen, everything that we thought that was going to take place, all began to shift. And it was a very difficult time. It was very painful for me and for Brooke, both of us, because it didn't just shift because it, you know, God was doing something different. It began to shift when someone who I had really cared about, I had hired someone and really fought for them and given them raises and promoted them and done all this, and then we came to find out in this short period that that person had gotten a couple others together and began to spread all kinds of lies and make up some stories about me that had to be addressed. And all of a sudden, it kind of just halted our entire lives, and now it was like a sharp left turn that we weren't expecting whatsoever. It was the greatest kind of hurt and betrayal I'd experienced in my life. And while we're trying to figure out kind of what to do and how to, you know, combat lies and try to bring the truth and all this kind of stuff, in the midst of all of that, it was a Saturday night. We're laying in bed, Brooke and I, just kind of talking and kind of trying to pray a little bit and figure it out. We get a text from our family, and Brooke's grandmother, the one she'd been closest to her whole life, had passed away that Saturday night all of a sudden. So not only are we dealing with the stress of we don't know what our future holds, we don't know what if we're going to have a job, we don't know if people are going to believe the lies or the truth, we don't know if we're going to plant this church, it's all coming to a stop, and in the midst of that, we lose someone that we love so dearly. So we immediately make plans, and we fly down to Arizona for the funeral, and nothing was going according to the way we had planned it. We were supposed to be launching this new church, and it was supposed to be exciting, and instead there was just this inner turmoil, there was external chaos, and it was just complete chaos, and we're in Arizona, and I just remember I'd never felt so trapped and so anxious and afraid of what was going to take place in our lives. And so I got in my mother-in-law's car, and I just started driving. And out in Gilbert, Arizona, in like the East Valley, it's just flat, like there's no hills, so you can just drive in a straight line like forever. And I was just driving, and while I was driving, I just began to cry because I just didn't know what was going on. And I was like, God, what is happening? What are we supposed to do? Like, give me wisdom. Tell me the future. Like, how is this going to all play out? And in that car, in that moment, I remember so clearly Jesus met me in that moment and said, Nathan, peace, be still. Have peace. I'm with you. He didn't answer all my questions. Not all my problems were solved, but I knew that Jesus was with me, and because Jesus was with me, I could have peace. Little did I know that that would set off a course of events that would lead us here to launch this church a couple years ago, and I'm so glad that we've done this and we're living here. But all of this, I mean, rewinding back then, I knew nothing. I knew nothing about what the future looked like. All I knew was that Jesus was with me, and because Jesus was with me, I didn't need to be afraid. And I could have peace. See, Jesus is here. He wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you and talk to you He wants to be your friend, to be your Savior, to be your God, to be your best friend. He is God with us. And that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus as God coming to be with us. I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and they're going to share a song with us called Peace Be Still. And as they sing this song, and as they lead us through the words, I just want you to sit and just reflect on Jesus coming into your life and saying, peace, be still. I just want you to reflect on Jesus coming, being born as a baby, but then he grew up, and as a man, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross so that we could be forgiven for our sins and our mistakes. Then 3 days later, he rose from the dead so that we could have peace in this life and peace eternally. Let's pray, and then after I pray, the worship team is going to begin. Jesus, I thank you so much for your peace that is beyond our understanding. Jesus, I thank you so much that you left your throne in heaven, that you came down to this earth and became a human being so that you could die for humanity's sins. That even though you were perfect, you took our punishment upon yourself. Jesus, I pray that as we sit and as we reflect to the words of this song, I pray that you would meet each one of us here in this moment. And in this moment, we would know you are real, that you are with us, and we can have peace because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.